Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora, or head on over to AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcasts, and we ask you to please share those on social media. That helps independent media a great deal. We're excited for the show tonight. Friend of the show, Sean G, will be joining Rob and I for some discussion on the news. I want to start off talking about what is going on over at CNN. For anyone keeping score in the last year, they have had Jeffrey Toobin expose himself and masturbate on Zoom in front of his coworkers. Somehow he is back, and he survived that, believe it or not, in this Me Too era. You've got Don Lemon, who is accused of sexual assaulting a guy, but I guess he has Black and LGBT privilege, so he is all right. And now we got Chris Cuomo, who has been fired for investigating his brother, who is a sexual predator. He investigated his brother's victims. CNN had no choice but to fire this clown. CNN is a disaster. They claim they're the most trusted name in news, but we know better. What is going on over at CNN, Rob?
Andrew, I think it's more like what isn't going on over at Fake News CNN. I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in. Glad that you could join us. But just going back to what you're saying, Andrew, it's all about what's not going on at Fake News CNN. These guys claim to be the most trusted news out there, but they're not. Unless they're just talking about the most trusted news amongst themselves. And when you look at the makeup of Fake News CNN, look at their cadre of talent. A majority of these guys came out of the Clinton White House, the Obama White House, the Bush White House. So they're all connected at the hip. And we did a show not too long ago called Six Degrees of Separation. Well, these guys couldn't be any more from that. Look at Jim Sciutto, was in the Obama White House. And he was probably picked to be on CNN so that he could protect what little legacy Obama thinks that he has, so that he could spin and propagandize everything that Barack Obama did not do and should have done. So I'm not at all surprised at what's happening at CNN. They're imploding. And then you have Jeff Zucker, who was over NBC. Why is Jeff Zucker over CNN? As soon as President Trump came on, somehow he mysteriously, we're going to elevate him. And look at what has happened. He has turned CNN, a once successful journalism broadcast news, into tabloid trash day in and day out. They're spinning and grinning with propaganda. Now, they do have, or had, I should say, journalists there working for them, but they decided to take a walk on the dark side. So from 7 a.m. until 12 a.m. is nothing but fake news being spent. That's all they do. They're spinning nonstop. They don't even let one iota of real news slip in without them putting their opinion in their spin. And then when the real news, they are faced with real news, what do? They obfuscate. Hunter Biden's laptop. They hid behind it and say, oh, it's fake news, it's Russia disinformation. They love the word Russia disinformation. I think they were having orgasms over that word, Russia disinformation. Everyone was saying it, Russia disinformation. And it wasn't Russia disinformation. It was the truth as to what was actually happening, is that that whole lie about collusion was just that, a lie. And the only truth out of it was that Hunter Biden was involved with the Ukrainians and the Chinese and possibly Russia. There was a mayor's wife of Russia that gave him a lot of money. That was the truth. That's what the FBI, our intelligence, came up with. But will they talk about it? Absolutely not. They have looked all over it. So it just goes on and on and on and on and on. So I'm glad we have on to share with us our these topics, as you said, Sean G, because he's been on with us before, and we love for him to come on and give us his take on all of this craziness that's happening at the house of fake news, CNN. Sean, what do you say?
Yeah. Hey, what's up, everybody? Thanks again for having me, Rob and Andrew. You know, and the first thing I would say about CNN now is like, well, none of this is surprising. You know, we knew CNN was bad, or as Trump would say, fake news, for years at this point, and it's gotten worse and worse. And to have somebody like, you know, Cuomo, you know, they called him Fredo Cuomo, to have him implode and finally get himself fired is really not surprising. I mean, I guess I would credit somebody at CNN for actually calling him out on it and firing him, you know, and getting this stuff done. And what I'll say too is, you know, I work in schools. I work with young people, and they have a program called CNN 10, which is basically the CNN for kids, right? They show that in schools, and it's really not bad as far as the program goes, but you know, it's kind of sad in the sense that that's become the best program that CNN has now is the stuff they put on for kids, you know, and it's really gotten that bad. And we're not just talking CNN, we're talking MSNBC, you know, and the mess that they have over there. And, you know, even unfortunately with Fox News is that Fox News is not the Fox News that we grew up with, where they've had their, you know, real problems with corruption too. So it again takes us into what kind of news can we trust? And the answer is nothing that we really see on the mainstream television. So we have to find our news from somewhere else. And many times the good news that we find, whether it's online somewhere, a blogger, a podcast such as this, well, you see the powers that be trying to censor it and get rid of it, you know? And, you know, in other curious news, you saw the CEO of Twitter just recently, Jack Dorsey. Well, now he's gone. He is resigning. Well, where is he going? You know, it doesn't seem to be like a vacation he's going to. And it doesn't seem like a very, you know, nice thing that Dorsey is going through at this point. So, you know, it gets very curious when you start to see all these big names finding their own demise, and they're gone and they're going somewhere else. And, you know, we are gaining in this case. Each time we lose a Chris Cuomo, we lose a Jack Dorsey. Well, we're all winning in that sense. So, hey, it's Christmas time. I could use some more Christmas gifts as we get to the 25th of this month.
More Christmas gifts with more of them being unloaded. But something that you said, Sean, that is so true, it's not just fake news CNN, it's all of them. And while people look at what happened, the demise of Chris Cuomo, and they're like, oh, it's sad what happened to him. And I don't feel sympathy for him. I don't feel sorry for him, because I think the only thing that we're looking at is that they're sad that he got caught. They're sad that they had to let him go. Now, I'm sure that some of the barracudas in the water were probably circling around wanting his time slot. Like, I think the guy, Shimmer Cornish, he's going to take that slot, I'm hearing. And what's his name had wanted it, Brian Stetler, but they're not going to give it to him. But Jeff Zucker is probably just sad that they got caught. There was a lot of pressure on him, not only from the outside liberals, but within the organization, with people saying, this makes us look bad. He was given the green light, guys. Let's be honest. He was given the green light, he being Chris, earlier on when we first learned that he was helping his brother. And he said, well, I can't cover this anymore. Think of the times that Andrew came on the show and they had the freaking frack 15 minutes of joshing backwards and forward. So he was giving the okay. So Jeff Zucker really should be walking the plank. Perhaps Tom Malone, who's now a shareholder in this new company that owns CNN, will push him out around the, I guess, the new year. If they want to save CNN and restore it to its glory, they have got to go in and clean everyone out, from Breonna Taylor, from Anderson Cooper. Yes, Anderson Cooper has to go. When Anderson Cooper decided to make his private life of being gay, you're not special, buddy. I'm sorry, you're not special. I'm not special because I'm straight. I'm not special because I'm Black. We're not special. We're special because we're Americans. But all the other stuff does not make you special. But he decided to create this entire platform around his sexuality. He had a talk show at one point that lasted all of, like, I guess, a year or so, 15 minutes of fame. And he invited all of his Hollywood buddies on. When they realized that it was going nowhere, he went back to doing the news. He got the 8 o'clock hour. But his stoic look, when he comes on, tries to look serious, we see straight through it, because the next thing you know, he's on the show with Andy Cohen and they're cracking jokes. He's on with the late night talk shows, cracking jokes. I don't want to see my newsmen and women cracking jokes. Yes, I know that they probably have that side about them, but I don't care to see it. It's unfortunate. You chose a profession, be professional, stick to your script, and stay at home. I don't want to know about you dancing like Katy Couric out trying to do the twerk at a birthday party when she was on the news. These guys became so self-aggrandized that they're so this and their big salaries and they're doing this and doing that, as opposed to reporting the news. So what's happening here is that they're probably disappointed that they had to push him out, because he was one of their, I didn't know it, their big top talkers.
Yeah, that's interesting. But they say as soon as he went off, ratings went up. Perhaps that was people just tuning in to see what they would say about Chris Cuomo being suspended or fired. But something you said that was very stuck out to me, Rob, was when Andrew Cuomo went on his show at the same time that thousands of elderly people were dying in New York nursing homes and they were cracking jokes. It was basically damage control for Andrew Cuomo. And I always thought that was so inappropriate and totally unbecoming of a news network to do that. And CNN did it with no apologies. And they continued to bring Andrew Cuomo on time and time again. Here's my question, Rob and Sean. We talked about this briefly the other night, Rob, but Chris Cuomo, now that he is fired, do you think he has a future in mainstream media? Do you think he's going to have to go the podcast route, or could you see him maybe going Good Morning America, Today Show? Sean, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question when you talk about Cuomo anyway. And, you know, I mean, I guess we're in a society where people are forgiven for something, you know, that they do, even as bad as some of these people do, right? So, you know, Cuomo basically is busted for trying to cover for his brother, the governor of New York. And the problem came is that, of course, you know, you're showing corruption in journalism. And Andrew Cuomo is the governor that was probably known as like the leader of like the bad governors during our COVID lockdowns. You know, New York was the lead example of like how not to handle things during COVID. You know, they locked down nursing homes, and you know, unfortunately, people died because of Cuomo's decisions to, you know, keep sick people within the same nursing homes and stuff, and you know, adding tragedy to the COVID narrative. And Chris, of course, his brother, as they would call Fredo Cuomo, was there at CNN covering for his brother and covering to the point where it's gone too far. You've had some other journalists that, you know, have gone too far with corruption. If you recall Brian Williams at NBC, he was caught lying multiple times. They gave him another show at NBC or MSNBC, but finally he's been canceled again. So as far as Chris Cuomo goes, I mean, there's always a second chance for somebody, but it really becomes, what kind of second chance is that? It's not going to be anything major right now, and you'll have to start off at somewhere smaller and work your way back up to gain some credibility. I mean, look at the example of Keith Olbermann. Keith Olbermann was one of the better sportscasters I remember from my youth. And then he went political, and he has since gone off the deep end, unhinged, and become one of the most corrupted, one of the most degenerate political commentators you could. And this is a guy that was actually pretty good at talking about sports back when I was younger and back in the days. So some people have found ways of destroying themselves, and Chris Cuomo is now added to that list.
Well, what I would say is that, yeah, absolutely. He probably has the opportunity of coming back, because they recycle the talents all the time. It doesn't make a difference as to what they've done. I mean, we're now hearing that he was more than likely or partly let go because of his own sexual allegations, him being Chris Cuomo. Because if you think back, right before the pandemic hit, there was word that women were accusing Chris, and he was speaking to none other than Michael Cohen about it. But of course, the media decided to just whitewash right over it, just like they did with the 13 soldiers that were killed in Afghanistan, just like they're doing with Hunter Biden's laptop, just like they're doing with Biden's dementia, just like they're doing with the economy that's failing, with inflation that's high. And we're told, oh, it's nothing. You should be thankful for inflation, just like they're doing with the supply chain problem. They're whitewashing right over it and hoping that we don't focus on it. And sure enough, people aren't focusing on it. When Biden came in with his, the travel ban, you ask people, who started the travel ban? Oh, President Trump. No, it was Biden as of recently. So your question as to, will Chris have a second chance? Yes, he has a second chance and a third act. They don't care. Because when the allegations came out that he himself was involved with sexual misconduct, they should have pulled him off the air and investigated it. Now, I live here in New York. And not too long ago, about, I would say, 5 years ago, Greg Kelly of Newsmax was accused of sexual harassment. They immediately pulled him from the show while they did their investigation. Now, it turns out that it was much to do about nothing. The young woman lied. She had mental problems. But they pulled him off because he was a conservative. Now, a lot of people didn't know it at the time, but they yanked him off. Then they, and the media had a field day with it. Everyone was saying, oh, who is this guy? Greg Kelly? Well, he was the son of Ray Kelly, our former police chief. So they pulled him thinking they could silence him. And as always, what happened? He left the show and now he's on Newsmax. So you look at Chris Cuomo, look at the same thing. He stayed on talking about COVID and how he had it. And he was downstairs quarantining. He was doing the show from downstairs and Don Lemon and him, they were crying like, oh brother, I hope you don't die. I mean, it was like a love fest there. Then the next thing we know, people are seeing him, spotting him on Tony the Hamptons walking around with the shirt off. And they're saying, wait a minute, you should be quarantining. Oh, mind your own effing business. Then the next thing you know, we see him, his wife is doing some type of meeting that he's spotted in the background, but naked, walking around. All by design, of course, because he's self-absorbed. So he will come back. They can't keep him away. Even if he does the podcast, I mean, that's the big thing. Now he's on Sirius Radio. That's the big time. So even if they shut him up there, he will come back. He will probably appear as a guest pundit. Look at Chris Matthews. They kicked him off because of sexual harassment. These guys will make their way back because they protect their own. Jeffrey Toobin should not be on TV because of what he did. Masturbating, the king masturbator in front of his colleagues. How do you clean that up? I'm sure it was sticky, but they brought him back. And why? You can't find any other liberal commentators, legalese? I'm sure you can. So Chris will come back unless they put him in jail. And even if they put him in jail, he'll come back. They'll have the Chris Michael Cohen hour and they'll talk about it. Mark my word. These people will not stay down. Look at Bill Clinton. God bless him. Everything that he's done. And every so often, they'll circle him back out again. When they start talking about these issues, he'll go into hiding, then he'll come back up. Look at Hillary Clinton. You look at the entire makeup of fake news, and you can see that all of them have dirt on their record. Joy Reid. Homophobic tweets saying other bad things about Jews. And what was her defense? Oh, someone hacked my account. MSNBC, we're going to investigate. What happened with the investigation? No one ever told me what happened, but yet and still, she's still on MSNBC. Why? Because she's a Black woman, she's a radical, and she has a loud mouth. They love that. So let's keep her out there and get as much mouths as we can out of her. No, soon someone will come calling for her card and she'll fade away, but not before screaming racism and feminist. They don't like me because I'm a woman. They don't like me because I'm a Black woman. No, Chris can't say that. No, he can come back and say, well, they don't like me because I'm Italian. But mark my word, he will come back. There is a third act for him and people will watch. And something that you said, Andrew, that I think is so true, is that they're saying that, oh, the ratings went up. Well, the ratings only went up because people wanted to tune in to see what they were saying. I would even go on there. I mean, I would watch Sean Hannity. Of course, I would listen to our show, but I would click over there and say, hey, is he going to be there? What are they going to say? And then I would move off. But to them, that's a sign of, oh, you see, we're number one in this time slot. No, you're not. You're at the bottom half. So that's the reason why the ratings shot up. People wanted to know what's going to happen. And just as they went up, as this settles, the ratings will go down again. But he has a third act, as they all do, as we see.
Yeah, well said, Rob. So much in the fake news going on with Chris Cuomo. Unbelievable that CNN actually fired him. I was very surprised that they actually pulled the trigger. I didn't think that they were going to pull the trigger. You look at Jeffrey Toobin, what he got away with. It's actually kind of funny that he has to go on and talk about Chris Cuomo getting fired when you look at what's happened in his own situation. And then you've got people like Brian Stelter already putting the bad mouth on Chris Cuomo, saying that Chris Cuomo had a lot of problems while he was at CNN. Did you see Brian Stelter's reporting on that, Rob?
I did not see it. And I put no stock into what Brian Stelter is saying, because before then, Brian Stelter was telling us that Chris was going to come back in January, or that he might come back before the end of the year. So I guess the king of the dwarf kings, as one commentator refers to Jeff Zucker, gave Brian Stelter a memo and said, hey, now you can go out and you can trash him and say whatever you want to say. These guys are comical. They will protect their own for as long as they can. As I said on two shows ago, I'm sure that as soon as they smelt the blood in the water, a lot of them started to circle around, and they were waiting to see who was going to take the next snippet or bite at Chris. And then once they realized that it was a foregone conclusion that, oh, he's out, you know, oh, Shimmer Cornish, they decided, okay, no, he's gone. Let's go ahead and trash him. But he will come back. And I'm sure that Don Lemon will bring him back. He will probably have him on the show and they'll have a love fest. Hey, bruh, I'm sorry what happened, but you know, these things happen. I mean, Don Lemon is embroiled in his own sexual harassment scandal. Why is he still on the news? Why is he still there? I mean, what are they waiting for? Well, we don't know if this guy lied or not. Okay, but an allegation that to me seems rather believable was made. Why is Don still there? They're going to protect their own. They're protecting their own. I remember when Larry King left the show. He had the 10 o'clock hour, and they were all jockeying for that position. Don Lemon and Anderson Cooper, and they would rotate them. Finally, Don Lemon got it. He got that, and then the 11 o'clock. So I can only imagine the people that are jockeying for the 9 o'clock, Shimmer Cornish is going to get it, but I'm sure that there are others that want it. And what you got to remember is that there isn't a Black woman that has her own news hour on fake news CNN. So I'm sure before long, you will hear some disgruntled people saying, where are the Black women? Or better yet, as I said in one of our other shows, a transgender. They are waiting. They are looking feverishly for a transgender who can carry the news, looks presentable. Maybe they'll get Billy Porter and all his flamboyancy to go on at that time. Now,
Michelle Obama.
Oh gosh, Michelle Obama. Well, that's beneath her. You know, she's busy trying to hide out. And I'm sure we'll talk about this in our second half. She's trying to distance herself from Jesse Somalay, because remember, she had a hand in Kim Fox dropping the case. So she doesn't want to come out just yet. She's really quiet until that blows over, because she don't want people to connect the dots. Well, we've already connected the dots here. The fake news will give her a pass, but I'm not giving her a pass. Absolutely not. So who knows? Once this blows over, she might come out and say, oh, I'll take the spot. Give me that spot. I'll do the news. Or better yet, Joy Reid. She may very well walk away from MSNBC and say, oh, it's not paying me enough. And they might come courting her over there. But we got to remember, Tom Malone is now a shareholder. He wants to restore fake news CNN to its glory of being the cable news network. So time will tell.
Absolutely. Great first half, guys. We've got a great option for you guys for a great Christmas present for yourself or someone that you love. head on over to healthycell.com. Try out REM sleep if you're having trouble sleep. Are you tired of being tired? Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM sleep supplement, the only sleep supplement designed to support all four stages of sleep. And you can save 20% off with the code OUTLOUD over at healthycell.com. Rob and I have been taking Healthy Cell, and we highly recommend it. You're tuned into After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the shows. We'll be back with more After Dark with Rob and Andrew and our special guest, Sean.
Hail, my fellow Americans. How did you feel watching footage on the news of domestic terrorists looting our stores and burning our cities down? You were probably disgusted and angry as much as I was. It's disturbing what's going on. Well, you'd be shocked to know that your shopping habits are supporting these extremists. Companies like Amazon, Nike, Disney, FedEx, it's an endless list. And they've been supporting these radical groups. Let's stop supporting companies that fund these extremist groups. We can all do our part. Visit shoptotheright.com and you'll find businesses in a nationwide database and companies that are aligned with our American values. Visit shoptotheright.com and let's all make a difference.
Because of COVID-19, many Americans worry about their health four times a day. That's 112 times per month. But by simply keeping our immune system strong, we can stay healthy and put our worries at ease. One little known way to do this is by taking AC11, a patented supplement from a plant in the Amazon rainforest. Studied for over 20 years and backed by over 40 scientific peer-reviewed studies, taking AC11 has been proven to extend the life of immune cells called leukocytes, allowing you to boost immunity naturally. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of AC11. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
AmericaOutLoud.com. Simply put, we're patriots who believe in Ronald Reagan's vision of a shining city on a hill. From sea to shining sea, you can listen in on iHeartRadio. Our free apps are on Apple, Android, or Alexa, or our world-class media player. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
We are back with After Dark, Robin Andrew, and our special guest, Sean G, who has been on with us before. He's decided to come back to help us dissect the fake news, real news, and everything in between, before and thereafter. Now, I want to open up the second half talking about the fear factor of the Omicron variant of COVID-19. Now, let's see here. We have had COVID-19, also known as China virus. We have had its cousin. Is it Delta? Was it Delta, guys, that we had? Was it the Delta variant that we had?
Yeah, yes, it was.
Delta, and then it was, was there a Alpha, or did we just go directly to Omicron? Because I know they didn't want to go with Chai because they felt that would be too closely tied to Chinese. So we've just had so many of these alphabet soups that have been coming out, and each time they've been trying to scare us into staying inside. Now, when Delta came out, are we sure that it's Delta? For some reason, I think that she had another name, but I guess it was a cousin Delta. Well, whenever it was, when it came out this summer, they tried to scare us into staying in and putting back on the mask. Though they did scare some people enough to say, you better go take that vaccine. There's nothing wrong with the vaccine. If you're of a certain age, you should take the vaccine. If you have an underlying condition, take the vaccine by all means. Remember, President Trump, with Operation Warp Speed, gave us the vaccine, got us the vaccine, not President Biden or his vice president. It was Trump. But the way they're trying to push it on you, and now with the Omicron, it started in Africa. And what does Biden do? He immediately bans flights coming into Africa. Don't you bring those flights here. You better stay away. Like, what? That sounds kind of racist to me. You're going to ban the flights from Africa? And when you look at Africa, the rate of the virus infecting them is so minuscule. But and no one is looking at it. And they're not completely vaccinated like Americans or these Western countries. Why is it that we're so vaccinated, but we keep getting this freaking virus? And then they said, there's no one here in the United States that has it. The next day, one person in California. It's always in California. What the hell are those folks in California doing? Well, I'll tell you what they're not doing. They're not taking care of the city. They're not taking care of the state. They have homeless people all over spreading germs and diseases. And you know what else? They're also letting people sneak in. They're busing people in. Now, that's a whole different ball game unto itself, because if you are an illegal alien, don't worry about the vaccine. You don't need it. The status of being an illegal alien helps you fight the virus. You have a resistance to the virus. So you come on over here and you can go from state to state. And if you are spreading it, we're not going to say anything about it. Because right now, I think over 1.73 million illegals have come to the United States. Think about that. 1.73 million and counting. You can take that group and form your own state. And what does that mean? They can vote. They can change votes. Now, the 1.73 plus that are here, that they're saying, oh, they probably don't have COVID, they probably don't have Delta, and they surely don't have Omicron, because we're stopping those folks, some Africans, from coming over here. Now, take that number, 1.73, stick with me here now, and bring in the Afghanistanians. That's like about 30,000 or 50,000, and they're living on military bases. The kids are being schooled. They don't have to wear the mask. The vaccine is optional. That's another chunk of voters. And you know what else? They're going to give them a fast track to citizenship, making them eligible to vote at a voting booth near you. Wow. Bet you didn't see that coming. Well, you didn't see it, but the Democrats did. But back to my story. Any Omicron variant, we got to make certain that those Africans don't come over here, because they could spread that deadly disease. As of now, 16 states are seeing the Omicron variant. And what are they going to do about it? They're going to try to make you guys go back inside. They're going to force you to take that vaccine and then force you to take the booster. Never mind that with all these shots and vaccines, you could still get COVID-19. You could still get the Delta variant. You can still get Omicron. Omicron, I hate that word. You can still get it. But you know what they're going to tell you now? Yeah, you can get it, but you have a better chance of fighting it. So what does the African nations do? They say, wait, why are you singling us out? We were just calling it to your attention. Maybe we shouldn't have said anything about it. You're going to hurt our economy. And then during a press conference, you had an African reporter to accost, what's her face? The redhead lady, Jen Psaki. And he asked her the question. He said, why are you guys singling out African nations? You're hurting us. And what does she say? Oh, it's not fair. Be quiet. Wait your turn. She's telling this to a black man, the white woman, the slave master, telling him, boy, you better get back and shut up. Do you know who you're talking to? You're talking to Miss White Woman. You better shut up, boy. But he continues to ask the question. And all the other reporters that are there, quiet as it's kept, they're not saying a damn thing about it. While she puts that boy in his place and tells him, you better shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. You're being disrespectful. Really? This is happening on live TV. And the other reporters are just sitting there. Now let's flip the script. Let's say if that was a Trump press house secretary and it was a black reporter. And she was saying, okay, I'll answer your question, but just wait. Being polite, as all of Trump's folks were, the liberal media would have been on that like white on rye and saying she's a white supremacist, she's a racist. Look at what she was doing to him. But when Jen Psaki, the redhead, headmistress, tells the black reporter, Simon Edaba, to be quiet, that he's being unruly. It is quiet as it's kept, and no one says anything about it. Did you guys see that? Andrew and Sean, did you guys see her pulling her privilege card, her privileged white woman card, and telling him to shut up? And that no one said anything to defend him? And you know what else, what I found interesting? Is that on Saturday night, this same reporter appeared on Fox, and he said, you know what? I never would have thought I would appear on this show, on Fox News. He said, I never would have thought I would appear on Fox News because I was told that you guys are racist and that you wouldn't let a Black and African reporter come on. And then he went into his story and saying, what Biden is doing is wrong. And you know what? The fake news, just as always, danced right over it, said nothing about it, guilty as charged, won't bring it up because it's not part of the narrative that they want. Shame on you. Yet still, they will push this whole race card. You know what? They're all the foot soldiers for white supremacy. All of them. And all of them that are trying to say, we're trying to protect Black lives. No, you're not. Give me a break. If I need you to protect my life, then my life isn't worth it because I will surely lose my life. What do you guys say, Andrew and Sean?
Yeah, well, first of all, what well said there, Rob, on, you know, just getting us into all this stuff with the variant. I would say, too, you know, when we look at the word Omicron, right? If you rearrange the letters and someone did, you know, the word spells moronic if you rearrange those letters.
Moronic,
and actually,
yeah.
That's really where we're getting at as far as variants and stuff. And what's really interesting regarding the Omicron variant, right, is apparently this variant is especially deadly or harmful to children. Well, on a coincidence, we are now trying to push vaccines for our children here in America. So the timing on that is pretty curious, I would say. As we push the vaccines for children, oh, this variant called Omicron or moronic is the one that is susceptible to children. And so, you know, this adds another fuel to whatever conspiracies that we may have anyway. And just gets into, when do we really draw the line? You know, because we've done what we've collectively done, what has been asked. We've worn the mask. We've stayed home. We've done our distancing. We've got the vaccination, or at least some of us have. We're probably the majority at this point. We've gotten the two shots. Many have gotten the third shot. Well, when does this end? When do we draw the line? When do we say enough is enough? Because if you have the two shots of the original vaccination, whatever vaccine that was, well, you're probably expired by now if you go by what a vaccination is, right? If you had it, let's say, in February or March, well, now it's probably expired if we get to December. So, you know, when really is enough enough? Because let's say you get the virus now and you've been vaccinated. Well, to many, it's kind of like having the common cold. And what do we do when we've always had the common cold? Well, you get over it. You still go to school. You still go to work. You might have a cough. You might have a sneeze. You might have a runny nose, but you deal with it like working, hardworking people do. That's what I've always done. When you have going back to school days, well, if somebody has the flu in school, chances are it's going to spread around to the majority of your students in your class. Well, what do? Well, you get it and you get over it. It's kind of like when we were very young, the chicken pox. Well, one person had the chicken pox, one kid. Well, parents actually wanted you to get the chicken pox from another kid, to have that spread, to have you gain that immunity from it. Once you get that chicken pox, well, apparently you're done for life. And that was the goal in having people intentionally wanting to spread the chicken pox. I've often said that maybe with COVID, you know, maybe you intentionally wanted to get COVID back when it first came out, because then you develop your immunity to it. And maybe that's still the case here. You know, there's so many unknowns and variables that we're left shaking our heads. And this is now nearly 2 years in to the COVID phenomenon.
Well, something that you just said that I thought was really fascinating is that children, if you think back 18 months ago, we were told that children could not get this virus, COVID-19, also known as the China virus, that their immune system was such that they could fight it off. So you would see kids just running around carefree, and you would see older people running from them thinking they might give it to me. We were told that don't let the kids see grandma because they could give it to grandma, although they wouldn't get it themselves. We were told that adults, older people, and then once they scared them, then they pushed it to the teenagers and to college students. They said that college students were going to die. I remember Joy Reid saying it around spring break, that it is just a feeding ground for COVID-19, and it did not happen. What happened? Why didn't those young people die? Why didn't they die so that we could save the country? Because they're the ones who are screwing everything up. Yeah. What happened?
It's fear-mongering, Rob. The liberal media keeps moving the goalpost on who to blame for this virus. First, it was all President Trump's fault for the virus. Every single day, it was doom and gloom in the media up until the election and January 20th. And now, since Joe Biden's taken over and gotten in office and we have this vaccine, it's all the anti-vaxxers' fault, according to the media. Even though more people have died this year than what died last year under President Trump, we knew it wasn't President Trump's fault that this virus was unleashed. It was obviously China's fault and people like Dr. Fauci's fault. But they keep moving the goalpost and who to blame. And it's never the Democrats' fault. They're just constantly pointing fingers. Like I said, first President Trump, and now they're spewing all this venom at the anti-vaxxers. But the fact is, Joe Biden once said that anybody responsible for that many deaths should not be president of the United States. And now more people have died under his watch than what died under President Trump's watch. The hypocrisy is there for everyone to see.
And they now, as Sean said, they have this new variant and they want to push it. The moronic, I like that. They want to push the vaccine on children. When we were told that children would not be infected, we've got to get the children now. And if children are now, they're saying, well, the virus, this is what happens to viruses. It changes. Once you start trying to stomp it out, it'll change. It'll get into another form. Why is it only now that it's targeting children? Or could it be that Dr. Fauci, the mad scientist that he is, Dr. Frankenstein, did something to change the mutation of this virus so that now it will impact our children? When he realized that this, we're not scaring the people enough. Now, some of you might say, oh, that's so far-fetched. Well, you also thought that it would be far-fetched. We would be locked inside, slow down the economy. You also thought it would be far-fetched that we would actually give people money because we said, oh, we don't want socialism. But look at how they managed to ease it in. Part of our economy now is a socialist economy because they have eased money in, giving it to people. People don't want to work. I read an article the other day, Andrew and Sean, that a pizza joint was advertising $70,000 for a manager at a pizza store. He couldn't get anyone to work, and still no one would accept it. Talk about socialism that has creeped up on us and is now taking hold in our society simply because the Democrats saw an opportunity with this virus, and they are pushing it to the max.
Yeah, that labor shortage is a real thing. I don't know about you guys, but around town here, fast food places are constantly shutting down early. Gas station here, it used to be a 24-hour gas station. Now it closes at like 7 o'clock at night. And you ask them why, and they say they just can't find any workers. So are you guys having that problem in Ohio, Sean?
Yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, a couple of the big things that we've noticed has been the price of food itself. You know, the price of going anywhere as far as a restaurant goes has gone up. For a while, it was certainly something like steak. You know, the price of steaks have gone up. But like, it's like the price of meat in general and food in general has gone up. And then, you know, when you have your tab of going out to eat today, you know, add on another $10 from what you would have done, let's say, a year ago. And the same thing goes with gasoline. With gasoline, you know, people, there's always different blames for gasoline, but, you know, the gasoline prices itself have gone up and significantly in many places to where it's like, wow, I don't even want to take a road trip right now.
Yeah, you got you that know, right.
Yeah. And so it really makes things, you know, it really makes things kind of frightening when you think about it, how much more we're paying now for food and gasoline, and that those that want to defend Biden Well, it's like, okay, you can defend Biden all you want, but I mean, push comes to shove here. You know, Biden is apparently the one in charge, and he's the one that is residing over our country when all these prices go up and inflation and things are becoming even more and more of a disaster.
Biden is not in charge. Biden is far from being in charge. If anything, it's Susan right. Rice. And where is Susan Rice? We have not seen Susan Rice. Where is she hiding? In the basement with Obama and Valerie Jarrett? Think about it. We have not seen Susan Rice. Maybe she's a person creating all of the chaos with Kamala Harris's staff. Maybe she is going to swoop in and take Kamala's role, because remember, she wanted that slot, but they were afraid that the right might give them a lot of grief over what happened in Benghazi. But she wanted that slot, and she thought she was going to get it. But Obama, who's actually the puppet master of Joe Biden, sleepy Biden, who doesn't know what's going on, he said that Dr. Fauci might be the president. I don't think that was a slip. I think he really believed that Fauci is the president. And Dr. Frankenstein Fauci was probably gloating, oh, I'm the president. Oh, he probably thinks it also. But where is Susan Rice? We've got to find her. I'm concerned. Seriously, guys, I am very concerned for her well-being. Maybe we should do a wellness check. I have not seen her. I have not heard from her. Are they holding her captive? Maybe Harris's team, knowing that what she's trying to do, decided to go in and kidnap her. I don't know. I am genuinely concerned. Where is this woman? She was always out there. She would usually be in the background, taking notes, writing something down. Where the heck is she? Or could it be that John Durham, the footsteps of inevitability, has zeroed in laser focus on what she was doing with this whole Russia collusion scam? Now, we know that Hillary Clinton was responsible for it, and we know that she's going to stay out there. She feels as though no one can touch me. Could it be Durham's team contacted her team and said, we've got some questions we want to ask you. There's something here. We see your name on something. Maybe that's the reason why she's hiding. She's been kidnapped. She's hiding out of fear that she is in John Durham's target. I need to find out. If any of our listeners have an idea or suspect as to what's going on, please reach out to me if you have sources, because I'm concerned, genuinely concerned for Susan Rice. What do you guys say? What do you think?
Yeah, it seems like she's been missing longer than Hunter Biden was missing. But yeah, we'll see what happens if she ever floats about and we end up seeing her. I want to take an opportunity to wish prayers to the family of Bob Dole, World War II veteran, recently passed away, Republican candidate for president. He was a big supporter of President Trump and a great Republican throughout his life. Very sad that he passed away. Sean, do you have any memories of Bob Dole?
Yeah, and you know, back when Dole first ran for president, I remember that briefly. I was a lot younger, and the thing with Bob Dole is that whether you supported him or not, you know, he was a good staunch Republican, and you know, the thing is, he really seemed like a genuinely good guy, a man of his word, an honorable man, a veteran, somebody that, like, even if you didn't agree with whatever his politics were, he was somebody that you could understand and respect as a legitimate good guy and a guy that really gave all for his country. So certainly thoughts and prayers with him and his family. And, you know, now we get to 2021. Well, you need more guys like Bob Dole was, that integrity, that honesty, that patriotism. And, you know, we certainly would like to see more guys like that. And, you know, on your point that Rob had made regarding, like, you know, where's Susan Rice? Where are all these people? I mean, we can make a full blown Where's Waldo book for a lot of these people to try to figure out really where they are. I mean, where's Susan Rice? Where's Durham? Where are the Clintons? Where are the Obamas? Where's Jack Dorsey? Where's Tom Hanks? You know, where are all they? You know, are they on vacation somewhere, or is it maybe not so much of a fun vacation? We need these answers, and we need our own Where's Waldo book to help us solve these answers just in time for Christmas.
Well, I would like to say, as far as Bob Dole, he was a true American patriot. As he always said, my word is my bond. I cannot say that for a lot of politicians. Definitely can't say it in reference to President Biden. But he had convictions. And he came out and said, you know, I support President Trump. He knew what President Trump was doing. While the others would dance around and him and ha, he also saved Bill Clinton's behind when they wanted to impeach him. Bill Clinton, the story goes, reached out to Bob Dole and said, hey, can you get them off my butt? Can you go and talk to them? And Bob Dole, like a true patriot, felt that the country could not go through this, went and spoke with Republicans. Definitely a true patriot. And I recall when he went to Bush's, the senior Bush's funeral, when his body was at the rotunda, and how he stood up to salute him. He had served in the Second World War. The man, you got to say, I mean, they don't make him like Bob Dole anymore. Now, I'm not trying to put him up on a pedestal, because he did have a fiery temper and he would say it like he meant it. And when he and Bush Sr. were running, I think years ago, for the presidency, they had a lot of fiery words that were exchanged between the two of them. But still, he was a patriot and his heart was in the right place. And he believed in America. He believed in the country as a whole. And I can't say that for a lot of people like Liz Cheney, Adam Kissinger, that are just into it, in it for themselves. They don't care about the country. They want you to believe they do, but they don't. They could take a lesson from Bob Dole, who was fierce and he was forceful and he had his beliefs. But at the same time, he knew that we were Americans. It speaks volume as to who this man is and his character. And I wish many others would look at the way he viewed America and would appreciate the country as he did.
Yeah, and as we mentioned, Rob, that he did vote and support President Trump. And the guy was so much more than that, though. He was a World War II veteran, as we talked about. And then you've got idiots like Mahidi Hassan on Twitter who said, Bob Dole, who endorsed and voted for Trump twice and called himself a Trumper as recently as July, has passed away. This guy works for MSNBC and works on the Peacock TV app for NBC. And this was his news report on Bob Dole passing away. Such disrespect for such a great American. Remember when Michelle Obama said, when they go low, we go high? I don't see much of that from the left. How about you, Rob?
No, these guys have never went high. They've always stayed below the belt. And I think they like being below the belt. Now, as I said, when I was talking about the late Senator Dole, I'm not trying to give him all these accolades that he doesn't deserve. I mean, the man, he was a fiery man. And as I mentioned earlier, when he and Bush, the first Bush, were running for the presidency, I think in the 80s, they were like really at each other. And they put out these negative information, opposition research. And I recall once, I think it was Saturday Night Live, did a skit on Bob Dole. And Bob Dole was played by Dan Aykroyd. And Bush was played by Dana Carvey. And in the skit, Dana Carvey attacked him and said, but Bob Dole, you slapped that intern once. And Bob Dole said, well, so what? You did this to an intern. And apparently that did happen, that earlier on in his career, Bob Dole, Senator Dole, had a run-in with an intern and he made the intern cry. Now, I don't know if he actually slapped the intern or not, but he had a rather hot temper and it was his way or the highway. And before he started to age, he was just like larger than life character. Even his expression, like he hardly ever smiled. But when you look at his life, Andrew, and you look at the things that he went through, and I remember reading an excerpt from a book, I don't know if he wrote it or someone else, and it said that when he was injured in World War II, that his dad, I think his dad was probably in his 60s or something, would take the train every day to go and see him. And he said that he would look at his dad, it would hurt his heart to see his dad getting on the train to go and see his son who had been injured. And that, I mean, that's like commitment, that's love for your son. And to do that, his elderly father to get up and do it. And he said that it made him cry. So he told himself, he's like, I've got to get up out of here. Now, he also joked that one of the reasons why he stayed in the hospital so long, he felt that he could have gotten out, was because the nurses were good looking. Now, he said that then. Now, imagine if he were to say that today. people would go crazy. Oh my God, he's been a sexist. He's being a this. But it just shows you the humanity. It made him human as opposed to this larger than life character. He ran for the presidency twice and he did make it. Now, during the second run, the party did nominate him to be their candidate to represent the Republicans against Bill Clinton. It was an unsuccessful run because Bill Clinton bested him. He voted for Trump twice because he saw that, wait, this guy loves the country. Now, let's just be honest. Trump wasn't a conservative in his truest form, but he loved America. And that's what Bob Dole saw. And that's the reason why he voted for him. And when they had the impeachment hearings twice, he shook his head and said, no, this is not who we are. But no one wanted to listen. Now the media wants to go in and glorify him. And then, like you said, this knucklehead that you're talking about, Mahidi Hassan. I'm just let that sink in. Mahidi Hassan. Now, let's see. He is a British American political journalist. Now, British. Why would he take his British behind back to the United Kingdom? We certainly don't need him here. His education, Christ Church, University of Oxford. To me, that's meaningless. It is meaningless completely. But yet still, this is where we are. He didn't understand the assignment, the Mahidi Hassan. Because if he did, he would say, let me just keep my mouth shut and be thankful that I'm allowed to come to America, you know. But, you know, they don't care. They want to destroy our laws with their rhetoric and everything else. And if you can't respect the country, you can talk against the country. That's fine. That's your right. But when you try to tear down the system and replace it with what? There's nothing to replace it with. So I look down on these people. So in honor, like you said, of the family, our condolences go out to Bob Dole and his wife, Elizabeth Dole, who also was a senator and ran for the presidency at one point in time. Godspeed on his journey. He was a great American patriot.
Absolutely. And thank you all for joining us tonight. And thank you to our guest, Sean D, for joining us tonight on After Dark with Robin Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutloud.com, who just celebrated its 5th anniversary this year. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to your podcast. We'll see you guys next time. And remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.